Talked about prayer in the message this past Sunday, but I want to encourage you to make it a real priority in your life as we begin this new year. And, you know, I mentioned Sunday about a season of fasting and prayer for 21 days, and I hope that you will integrate that into your schedule and your life for this coming year, the first 21 days. However, you know, pray about that and however God would lead you to do that, but do that. And some of you couples, you may need to talk and figure out how you can do that together. Me and Carmen did that, and we each made a few compromises, and because we want to do it together. You know, it just works better that way. Now, if you can't do that, well, you know, do your own. But I'm just telling you, however you do it, do it. It's so powerful. It's so important. It's such a great way to start the year. And I just want to make sure that nobody misses this, that we're not talking about doing some strange diet. We're talking about bringing our body under subjection so that our spirit can be strong. And so that means that you're not just doing a fast, but you're praying and you're spending time in the Word. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so you're feeding your soul, you're feeding your spirit all the time. All right, so tonight, I just felt like I needed to share a word about prayer. And I want to just say this from the beginning, that prayer has to be a priority in our life. You know, when you speak on prayer or some subject like that, and, you know, there's this little battle we got to get past that, yeah, we know that. Yeah, we've all heard that. And so there's a reason that we need to hear it again tonight. And so wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, in your prayer life, I believe God's going to speak to you in some way. But remember this, that Jesus himself made prayer a priority in his life. In all that he had to do in his short years here on this earth, he found time to seek a place of solitude in order to get alone with his Father. And even at times when the crowds were waiting for him. And for us to make prayer a real priority, we're going to have to say no to some things. And we're going to have to say wait to some things. It's amazing how many things need to be done right now when you're going to pray. And so I just want to encourage you that if Jesus had time to pray and be alone, so do we. We just got to make it a priority. And here's something that I've kind of learned over the years, is that the world will not fall apart while I pray. Isn't that amazing? Luke 18 tells us that Jesus taught a parable that men should always pray and not give up. Now, he tells this parable with this goal, with this purpose, that we would always pray. Always pray and never give up. And here it is, Luke 18, 1 through 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me and my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He says that we should never stop praying, never give up, no matter how it looks. And he gives us this story, this parable about an unjust judge. And he's saying that even an unjust judge who has no fear of God and no regard for man will eventually give in to this widow. But our God is not an unjust judge. No, he is the judge of all the earth who always does right. And he hears the cries of his people. And Jesus says he's not just going to avenge them. He's going to avenge them speedily. Now, I'm just going to tell you right here what we all already know is that sometimes our timetable is not God's timetable. No, his is better than ours. It doesn't seem like it when we're waiting, but he has the right time and he knows what he's doing. But what we take away from this parable is what Jesus said, is that we should always pray and never stop. And so, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Always pray and never stop. Never give up. You got to keep praying always. Prayer has to be a priority. You know, we get discouraged with the battles. We get sometimes maybe even disappointed. Things don't happen the way that we wanted or in our timeline. But we just need to keep praying. Keep on praying. Jesus concludes with this challenge. It's a rhetorical question. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, he's telling this story about how we need to pray, and he says, our Father will avenge us speedily. And then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, if we make prayer a priority in our life, it will be because we believe it matters. It will be because we have faith. I mean, the real reason that we don't pray more is because we don't believe enough. Because the more we believe that God will answer our prayers, the more we'll pray. I mean, if you believe tonight before you go to bed that God will answer your prayer, I mean, if you knew for sure, whatever I pray tonight, God's going to answer it. Nobody would miss that opportunity. And I know that it's not always that simple and always that, you know, automatic. But here's what we do need to know is that prayer does work. God does answer prayers. And when we pray and believe we receive, Jesus said, you will have it. So there is a great power in prayer. And the more that we believe that, the more that we know that, the more that we're going to always pray. The time we live in, it's especially important to have a regular prayer time. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, people didn't wear watches. They just kind of went by the sun. And they also didn't have all of the distractions that we have today. I'm sure they had their own distractions, but there just seems to be so much in our world today that would distract us and pull us away from a quiet time of prayer. We're so busy and keep so much noise going in our life. If we don't make prayer a real priority in our schedule, it just won't happen much of the time. And I think that's very true for busy people. The more you have to do, well, guess what? The more that you need to make prayer a priority in your life. Prayer's much more than just some routine that we go through, although it ought to be a part of our routine. You know, the great man Daniel, he had a schedule for his prayer time. Now, it was real simple, but this is a great schedule if you're looking for a schedule for your prayer time. Morning, noon, and night. That's right. Morning, noon, and night. I don't know how long, you know, that's between you and God. But every morning, noon, and night. How many of you eat morning, noon, and night? Well, some of you eat all day in between. Morning, noon, and night. We can pray morning, noon, and night. This is what Daniel did. He prayed three times a day and gave thanks to his God. Even when it became illegal, he did it anyway. Most Christians today, if they made a law against praying, they wouldn't have to worry. Okay. But most Christians today will never know the power and the deliverance that Daniel knew when God brought him out of the lion's den. We need to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Got to make it a priority in our schedule, and then we'll find ourselves praying more throughout the day, praying without ceasing. We ought to be a people of prayer, people that just pray all the time. And we need to, you know, in that praying all the time, you see, we're keeping the communication lines open between us and the Lord throughout our day as we talk to the Lord. Every challenge, every opportunity, every struggle, you're driving the car, you're doing business with somebody, maybe you're even talking to somebody. You know, you can talk to the Lord at the same time. I know a lot of people know how to do this because they talk to you while they're texting. Do you know a lot of people nowadays, they send over 200 texts a day? What if you talk to the Lord 200 times a day? You know what that's called? Praying without ceasing. It's just keeping the lines open. You're just talking to the Lord as you go through your day. That's how you make prayer a real priority in your life. Listen, you got time to talk to all these people. Don't misunderstand me. Relationships are so important in the kingdom, but there's one relationship that's far and away above all of the others, and it's amazing how much time we spend talking to people and not near enough talking to God. We just need to make it a priority. And the awesome thing is you don't even have to have a phone. But the real issue is we got to realize how much we need his help all day, every day, and how foolish it is for us to try to do life on our own without his help when he wants to help us. Prayer is first and foremost that which brings us into a personal relationship with the Lord. I just want to clarify. I've heard some people say, oh, well, I have a relationship with God even if I never pray because he's my father. Well, that's what you call an estranged relationship. I'm talking about a real relationship where you talk to him and you hear him. It's a real ongoing relationship, a fellowship, a communion. And prayer is how we do that. Prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian life. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve talked with the Lord. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross to reconcile us to the Father. Hear me now. He didn't just die on the cross so we could go to heaven. That's what a lot of people think. That's not why he died on the cross. He died on the cross so we could be reconciled to the Father. And that means we go to heaven. We get to be with him for eternity. But it's about a relationship. It's about us having that with our Father. And I'm just telling you that's why prayer has to be a priority in our life every day, because it's about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Without prayer, you just end up with a dead religion. Christianity is not meant to be just religion. It is a relationship with a living Lord that really can only be experienced on an ongoing basis through prayer. Jesus says to the lukewarm church, read it Sunday, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. Prayer is the privilege of communion with the Almighty, and it has to be a priority in our life above all else. One man said, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is and nothing more. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but I do think the sentiment is right. That when it's all said and done, our relationship with God is the most important thing. And our prayer life has everything to do with that. I don't think the devil really minds. I don't think he really cares about Christians who don't pray. Because we will have no eternal impact without prayer. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We've got to have his help every day. And prayer's how we get his help. Prayer has to be the priority because prayer brings the plan, the purpose of God. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we go to prayer to seek his agenda, not just what we want, but to seek his agenda, his plans, and his purpose to bring those into this world. We can't just go to God with preconceived ideas about how, you know, God, you need to do this, and I think this. Instead, we go to God, and we're asking him to bring his plans and purposes into being in our life and in our family, in our church, in our world. That's how we pray. That's why it's got to be a priority, because he has designed it. This is his plan that we got to pray it in. It's not automatic. We got to pray it in. And so prayer has to be a priority. Well, I'm just going to complain about all this stuff I see in the world. I'm just going to go on and on and on about it. And I'm going to post a bunch of junk on Facebook. And I'm going to talk about it. And I'm mad about it. I hate what's going on in our world. And I'm going to let everybody know about it. And I'm not doing anything but just spreading the bad news. Or we could get in the prayer closet where it really matters. And we get before God. We're not just complaining, but we're praying in the will of God. We're making a difference. And I just want to clarify, I want to make that real clear. Prayer is not complaining to God. No, it is going to God in faith and asking and believing, but we're asking and believing for his will, his plans and purposes to be done in this world. You know, sometimes, in fact, I believe most of the time, if you're really have a heart for God, that most of the time that his will is going to be in line with what you want, or rather what you want is going to be in line with his will. But there are times for all of us when it's not that way. And we see that even in the Lord Jesus when he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. And so we just need to remember that that's what's really important, is that his will is done. Not just what we want and what we selfishly would ask for. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And this is why so many people get disillusioned with prayer. And I'm just going to put a lot of the blame on us preachers, because a lot of the time we make it sound like, you know, hey, just whatever you want. And that's not right. No, we're not just asking for our own selfish desires. And I've got to clarify that. Listen, if you're praying for your lost loved one to get saved, that's not what I'm talking about. If you're praying that you would be healed, that's not what I'm talking about when I say selfish. No, those things are clearly part of the will of God in his word. But I'm saying that a lot of the prayers that people pray, it doesn't have anything to do with the word or the scripture, the will of God. It's just something they just selfishly want. And man, is that a prescription for unanswered prayer. Here's the prescription for answered prayer. You're asking God to do what he already wants to do. You're asking him to fulfill his plan and purpose. Oh, that's a prescription for answered prayer. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now when it says he hears us, that doesn't mean that he's deaf and can't hear what else we pray. It means that he's receiving our prayer. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. That's effective praying. You know that he has heard, we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So we pray according to the will of God, not trying to get God to do something he doesn't want to do. You know, I've said this before, it's kind of sarcastic, but I keep wondering when somebody's going to write a book about how to get God to do what you want. How much better it is when we understand that his will is always best, and we're asking him to do what he wants in this world, in our lives, in our kids. We're asking him to do what he wants in our government. Oh, that's the way we need to pray. So, how can you know the will of God? So often you just go to the Word of God and it makes it clear to us. And so I just say, read the Bible, learn the Scripture. The more you know the Word, the more you're going to know what is his will in any given particular situation. The more that you're going to be able to pray with faith because you know this is his will that you're asking. But prayer has to be a priority if we want to see the will of God. We want to see the plans and purposes of God in this world. Prayer needs to be priority because it brings peace to your heart and mind. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anybody want peace? You got to make prayer a priority if you want peace. So many people are burdened down with worry, stress, anxiety. It is one of the major causes of illnesses. It is also a huge disruptor in families. I mean, when people are stressed out and worried about things, it totally impacts their personality and the way they deal with their loved ones. In fact, stress and worry impacts people's livelihood. A lot of the time, it affects their effectiveness in the workplace and what they do. So many parts of our life are impacted because of stress and worry. Even when it comes to our work for the Lord, it's so impacted by those things. What's the answer? We need that peace. And how do you get that? You got to pray with thanksgiving. If you're stressed, I'm just encouraging you. I'm just telling you the truth in love. You need to make prayer a priority in your life. It will bring peace to you. What are you worried about? Whatever it is, you need to pray about it. And you pray about it until you can, from the heart, thank God for taking care of it. Because as long as you're still getting up from prayer and you're still just as worried and just as stressed, well, you're not done yet. You need to keep praying about it until you can give it to God and thank him for taking care of it. And then he says, the peace of God that passes all understanding may not make any sense to you, but there's a peace that comes and it will guard your heart and your mind. Wow, that is an awesome thing. When all the stress, the cares, the worries might try to come at you, but peace is guarding your heart and your mind. Make prayer a priority in your life. Prayer brings perfect unity. In John chapter 20, Jesus prayed that the church would be one. How can that happen? You know what? People think that's impossible. All things are possible with God. And I don't believe that Jesus prayed faithless prayers. So I don't know how, I don't know what that looks like, but I do know this, that for the church to really come together in unity, that prayer has to be a priority. It won't happen without prayer. On the day of Pentecost, it was as they prayed, they were in one accord, and the Spirit fell. Paul in Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." How can that happen? Be of one mind. Well, you got to lay down your own opinions, your own selfish ambitions. And it is amazing how when we go to God in sincere prayer, how it will bring us to a place of humility. Because we are acknowledging we need His help. And when we come to that place of humility, oh, how it is an opportunity for God to deal with our heart, for us to be able to lay aside our own selfish ambitions and opinions. I'm telling you, prayer will bring unity to your house. Statistically, church-going Christians are not much different than the world when it comes to divorce. Different, but not a whole lot. But couples that pray together, it is totally different. The divorce rate is less than 10% for couples that pray together. If you're not praying together, it's a good idea. Start praying together. But here's the thing. Prayer just has a way of bringing people together in unity. It has that effect because, you know, here's part of that. You know, as we're praying and seeking the will of God and we're talking to the Lord, we're getting closer to God when we pray, we're also getting closer to one another. We get, you know, the more we pray, the more we get the mind of God. And we, you know, if we're all doing that, we're all getting the mind of God. We just get more and more unity. And I'm just telling you that if we're really going to have that unity where the church is one as Jesus prayed, then it has to be that we all are praying for that and we're all looking for that. It's an old story about two Christian men that had a falling out, and one heard that the other one was talking about him to everybody, and so he prayed about it, and then he went to the man and he said, "Well, I heard that you're upset with me and some things that I've done," and he said, "I would like for you to be kind enough to tell me to my face what I have done and what my faults are, that I might be able to address those things and get rid of them." And the guy said, "Okay, yeah, we'll do it." And he said, "Well, before you tell me," he said, "first I would like to begin by you praying for me that my eyes will be open, that I'll be able to see and understand and hear." And so the man did that. He said, "All right, I'll pray." And so he prayed for the man. And when he got done, the other man asked him, he said, "Okay, well, tell me what my faults are." And the man said, "Well, after praying about it," he said, "I don't really think that it's worth talking about." He said, "In fact, I think I need to ask you for forgiveness for going around talking about you." It's just amazing how God can change our heart when we pray and bring us together in unity if we go to God in sincere prayer. Prayer needs to be a priority because it brings a perseverance in our life. It brings an inner strength to keep going. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, He will strengthen you. You know, without prayer, sooner or later, we always come to the end of our strength. We get weary. So many have fallen in battle because they didn't pray. If we're going to finish strong, we got to make prayer a priority. Prayer brings the power. R.A. Torrey said, if we're too busy to pray, we're too busy to have power. We all know how much change we need in our country, in our world, our community, maybe in our own family. We know there's a need for revival and renewal. So many that have turned away from God, so many that are no longer really passionate about the Lord, but they're complacent or they're lukewarm. What are we going to do about it? I want to tell you the truth. It's not going to be fixed by politics. Money's not going to fix it. Let me tell you what will fix it. Prayer, the power of God. That's the only way that you can turn men's hearts. Y'all are really quiet tonight. That's how we turn men's hearts. God can do that. Did you know most of us, we try to change somebody, all we do is frustrate ourselves and frustrate them. Dealing with the human will is a huge challenge. But God is able to set things in motion and put things in place and people in place to impact somebody's heart. The Bible says He can turn the heart of the king. I'm just telling you that we have a God who's so powerful, He can change people's lives where we cannot. The church is the most powerful force in the earth today. Because, listen, even the gates of hell can't stop the church. But it is because we are a praying people. Why don't we pray more? When we pray, there's no limit to the power. All things are possible. Elijah was a man that lived in a time that was very wicked. A time when they needed revival. In James 5:16, he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And through this story, it brought revival to that land. Oh, how we need to pray. Make prayer a real priority in our life. Years ago in Russia, a local communist party boss is riding along and he sees a Russian peasant out in the field praying. And he gets out and he goes over and he addresses the man with disgust. He says, you know, what are you doing out here wasting your time? You should be working and, you know, doing your part for the party, and all you're doing is just killing time out here praying like that. He said, sir, but I'm praying for the party. He said, oh, sure, a lot of good that'll do. You probably prayed for the czar, and look how that went for him. And the guy said, yeah, I did. I'm just telling you, if you want to see change, some of you didn't get that. If you want to see change, you got to pray. That's the way to see change happen in our world. That's how we see change even happen so often. That is how we see change happen in our own life. It's because we pray. We cannot do the work of the Lord in the arm of the flesh. It says we abide in Him that we bear much fruit. Prayer. We need to pray more for each other. If somebody's down, pray for them. Somebody's upset, pray for them. Somebody's struggling, pray for them. If they're sick, pray for them. If they're complaining, pray for them. If they're doing wrong, pray for them. If they're doing well, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for one another, the Bible says. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, Paul says, he's taught about prayer, and he says, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you're going to pray for the pastor that he'll be a better speaker. That's right. Stop complaining, start praying. Pray that he'll have a word of God, a word from God every Sunday. Pray that he'll speak with authority, he'll speak with anointing that sets captives free. Amen. See, here's the answer. We need more prayer. If we want to see God's power at work in our world, then we got to make prayer a priority. Matthew 21, I want to begin with verse 12. Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He said it should be called a house of prayer. It is supposed to be a place where people pray. And it is amazing to me that in a lot of churches today, there's very little prayer that ever happens. It's all become about the show. A lot of activity, but not much prayer. Verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. This is what happens when you make prayer the priority. The power of God shows up. God moves when people pray. There's a real direct connection here. Make the house a house of prayer and God moves. What's the most important thing? Prayer. It has to be the priority. It's amazing. When people pray, God moves. And last, prayer brings praise. Very next verse. But when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. You see, when prayer is the priority and the power of God shows up, then God gets praise. Then people's hearts are turned to him. People see that our God is a mighty God that answers prayer. And I just want to encourage you tonight, make prayer a priority in your life. Put it above all that other stuff in your schedule. There's got to be a way in every life that we can find room to have some quality time with God and really seek the Lord. And I just would encourage you in this. Wherever you are in your prayer life, start from there. I know some people that pray for an hour, 2 hours a day, or more. Listen, if all you can muster up is to pray for 5 minutes and you don't know anything else to say, then you pray for 5 minutes and you do what you know to say. I want to tell you, you will learn and you will grow. You keep reading your Bible and you keep praying and you're just going to grow and grow and grow. But here's the thing, don't just not do it. You start from where you are and you just begin to make prayer a priority in your life. I want you to stand with me.